I was reading a story about Walt Disney. He was a remarkable man of vision. Early in his career, the newspaper fired him, saying that he had no good ideas. It just caused Walt Disney to try harder. And when he was starting out, he was told to have no talent. But he had a dream, so he set out to conquer his enemies. He found a pastor that paid him a small amount to draw advertising pictures for the church. Because Walt Disney had no place to stay, the church allowed him to live in a little garage that was infested. And one of those mice, Walt Disney nicknamed Mickey. And Mickey became famous, as the world knows. The early days, it was really tough for him, but this remarkable creative visionary refused to give up. Walt would occasionally present an unbelievable, extensive dream to his board about an idea he was entertaining, and almost without exception, the members of the board would gulp, blink, and stare back at him in disbelief, resisting even the thought of such a thing. Unless every member resisted the idea, Disney usually didn't pursue it. Yes, you heard correctly, friends. Unless everyone resisted the idea, he would not take it. Is it any wonder then that Disneyland and Disney World are now realities? This type of faith is required for visionaries in business, but also for us as Christians. Like Disney, we need to dream big. We need to trust in God for the impossible, friends. The Israelites were in an impossible situation, we've been hearing for the last few weeks. They had been conquered by a foreign nation. Their cities were burnt down to the ground. The temple had been destroyed, and the entire nation had been in exile. All hope seemed lost. And no doubt, discouragement and despondency set in. People felt that God had forgotten about them, that there was no hope of reconciliation with God. This verse in our text sums up how they felt. Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Listen what this verse tells us how they felt. They said, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." That's how they felt, friends. You see, discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust for the future. That's what discouragement is. Discouragement is also ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifferent to the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding strength for tomorrow. That's what discouragement is. Discouragement is unawareness of the presence of God, unconcern for the needs and unbelief in the promises of God. In life, there are situations which appear to be totally and absolutely hopeless. And you know those situations. I know those situations. Just no way out and through them, and nothing but defeat is around us. Being discouraged is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. To have you and I discouraged and defeated is the devil's number one goal. To feel like there is no solution to life and that things will just not get better. Yet, friends, listen. God still has a plan. And in the midst of the impossible situation, God reminded the people through the prophet Ezekiel that he is the God of the impossible. I want to read the first 10 verses of our text. The hand of the Lord, Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, and that they may live.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded, as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Friends, firstly, you and I need to see the bones. We need to see the impossible situation in our lives. When was the last time you came face to face with an impossible obstacle? Do you remember that feeling of hopelessness? Ezekiel was taken by the Lord to the valley filled with dry bones. And later on, he found that these bones represented the Israelites. As I said, they had been conquered. Their cities and temple was destroyed, and they were in exile. And all hope and any chance of life as normal was long gone. Friends, history doesn't offer a more ridiculous picture than this. History doesn't offer a more hopeless situation than this. A valley of dry bones. This is hopelessness incarnate. This is hopelessness personified. Evangelist Leonard Ravenhill says that Isaiah and Ezekiel had seen this nation full of wounds and putrefying sores, but disease had galloped on to death, death to disintegration, and now these disjointed bones spelled out despair. Written over the whole situation in large letters is IMPOSSIBILITY, impossibility. Friends, dry bones are as dead as you can get. Ask a doctor and they will tell you that there's sometimes different levels of death. For example, death occurs when the heart stops. Often the heart can be restarted and the person can be brought back to life. And then there's brain dead. And the body may have some nerve response, but there's very little hope of recovery. But this situation that we're reading about is very different. What Ezekiel sees is long dead. These bones were very dry. It is one thing to believe God for a miracle to heal the sick and maybe to raise a person who just died. Remember the story Jesus told about when Lazarus died? Martha had held on to hope for a few days and then gave up. And she told Jesus these words. Jesus, she said, if only you had been here. This is hope lost for more than just a few days. Maybe God can raise the just dead. But can God raise the long dead? Can God raise these dry bones to life? You say, no way, man. Situations in life can be like that sometimes, can't they? There may be issues in life that seem difficult, and you are trusting God to get through. However, as time goes by, the situations get worse. Still, there might be hope that the situation may be resolved. But over time, hope fades. And at some point, dreams die. And the situation becomes hopeless. Like these dry bones, friends. Time after time, we read in the Bible about the impossible being made possible by God. But what about this time? What about this time? This time seemed the most impossible of all. After all, they were dried out bones, old dried out bones. I love verse 3. God asked, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answers very wisely, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. I love this verse. Sovereign Lord, you alone know. If anyone ever else asked Ezekiel, the answer was obvious. Of course not. But when the Lord God asked, well, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, when Jesus asked, when the Lord God asked, remember what Jesus said? With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Friends, here's a question. What impossible situation are you facing today? What are your dry bones? Maybe it's when there's no money in the bank and you don't know how to make ends meet. God asks you, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Maybe when your job feels shaky and you are being laid off, God asks, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I say, Sovereign Lord, you know. You alone know. Maybe when you're overwhelmed by some bad health news, God asks you, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I say, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Maybe when your marriage is messed up and you don't know what to do, God, our Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I say, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. When there's a broken relationship in the family and among friends and it's eating at you, God asks you, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you say, Lord, only you know. When you have unsaved loved ones and you've been crying out to God for years, God asks you, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I say, Lord, only you know. When you're concerned about your own salvation, God, our Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I say, Lord, only you know. When you feel hopeless about overcoming an addiction, listen, there are Christians with addictions. When you feel hopeless about overcoming your addiction, God, our Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I say, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. When you feel sad and anxious and scared and worried, God says, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I have to say, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. When there's no money to continue the new church building, God says, Son of Man, can these bones live? And you and I have to say, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Do you see that, friends? Because God is a God of the impossible. American Methodist pastor Charles L. Allen says, when you say a situation or a person is hopeless, you slam in the door in the face of God. There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Friends, people can ask you, can help you. Hey, let's talk about this. A counselor may help you to deal with it. But only God can bring the solution and restore hope. Amen? Amen. Secondly, friends, we need not only to see the bones, but we need to speak to the bones. Speak to those impossible situations in your life. The Lord then told Ezekiel in verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Do you see that? I don't know what to do. Speak to your situation. Well, it's impossible, but with all things are possible with God. And you don't speak to them about nonsense. You speak to your situation about the word of God. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy simply means hearing what God says and then repeating what he said. It is speaking God's word to a particular time and a particular place and person. Wouldn't you have felt silly talking to those dry bones that day? Have you noticed with Bluetooth that many times you see people talking to themselves? And you think, wow, this is strange, this is weird. Talking to yourself and inanimate objects are not normal. I'll tell you something. Sometimes I talk to my laptop. I am yelling at my laptop because, you know what? When I wanted to do something, it takes 3 to 5 minutes to think about it. Right? And you know, when I'm talking to it, I say, oh man, I hope nobody comes into the church. Friends, we need to speak into hopeless situations the will of God. This is not simply wishful thinking. This is not speaking our will, but speaking the will and the word of God to our impossible situations. The one day, I was being attacked verbally by somebody, and I spoke to that situation and I said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Did you see that, friends? I didn't talk about the flowers and about the lovely trees. I mentioned the word of God to the situation. Come on now. I don't know what to do. Speak the word of God to the situation. Friends, the Bible is God's word. It outlines his will and plan for each of us. And when we speak scriptures into a situation, we are declaring God's will. God loves it when we quote his word. God loves it when you quote his word. You say, Father, you said. He can't say, no, I didn't say it. You said it. I believed it. And it settles it, man. It settles it. Friends, when God reveals his will and plan to us, we need to speak those words into the impossible situations in our life. What is God asking you to say to the situation you may be right now? What would you say to your hopeless situation? Dry bones. Yeah, the word of God. And then go and stand on the promises of the Lord. Amen. In verse 7 of our text, Ezekiel continues. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. Wait now. Ezekiel prophesies the power of God, and we see there's a connection of the bones. And then step by step, they are covered with sinew or tendons and flesh and then skin. And now the valley is filled with bodies, but there's no life. Now in verse 8, continuation, it says, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Another version says an exceedingly great army. You know, the Hebrew word for breath is ruah. Is that what I say? This is the same word for spirit and for wind. It, in Genesis chapter 1, Russell put it on there, verse 2. The word first appears. It says there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit, the ruah of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Did you see that, friends? The translator, they translated ruah in our text as breath, because the passage is about giving life, which we associate with breathing. No breath meant no life. And yet the scriptures teaches us that the spirit of God gives life. The spirit who is like the wind. Do you remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? Sorry, that's the name I was trying to think about. Okay. He says in 3:5-8. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he will not enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. To be born again is to be given life. It requires the work of the Holy Spirit. So Ezekiel prophesies again, but this time to the breath. And breath comes into the bodies of flesh, and they rise to life, a vast army. It's interesting, friends, that the bones coming to life took two stages. I noticed that. First, he was told to speak, and the bones were made receptive to life. The second time he spoke, and breath was filled in them. I believe this is God's plan when we're reaching people who are not Christians yet. We need to pray. And we've been praying for the Smoky Lake and the county of Smoky Lake and our lovely province and our lovely country. We've been praying that God will make the people, firstly, receptive to his word. That their spiritual eyes will be opened and their hearts of stone will be replaced by hearts of flesh. And then we need to pray that God's Spirit would come and breathe into them so that they would come to Christ and be brought to life. I like A.W. Tozer. He said this: religious instructions, however sound, is not enough by itself. It brings light, but it can't impart sight. The assumption that light and sight are synonymous has brought spiritual tragedy to millions. The Pharisees looked straight at the light of the world for 3 years, but not one ray of light reached their inner beings. Light is not enough. The inward operation of the Holy Spirit is necessary to saving faith. The gospel is light, but only the Spirit can give sight. Friends, has there ever been a time in your life when the Word of God came and changed your life? I know many times in my own life, God has spoken just the right words at just the right time, and it changed everything in my life. The Word of God, the Spirit of God. Fred Craddock was a professor of preaching and New Testament, and he was on holiday in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. He and his wife were seated at a table in a restaurant when an old man came over to them and asked, "How are you doing? Are you having a good time? Are you on vacation?" "Yes," said Professor Craddock, "we are on vacation, and yes, we're having a good time." "What do you do for a living?" the old man asked. Professor Craddock wanted to get rid of the man, so he said, "I'm a professor of preaching." He was sure that the title will drive off any unwelcome intruder, but it didn't. "Oh, you're a preacher," the old man said. "Let me tell you a preacher's story." And before he could object, the old man had drawn up a chair to the table and started to unwind his tail. He said, "I was born an illegitimate child. I never knew who my father was, and that was very hard on me. The boys at my school had names they called me, and they made fun of me all the time. When I walked down the main street in our little town, I always felt that people were staring at me and asking that terrible question, 'I wonder who's the father of that little boy?' I spent a lot of time by myself and didn't have any friends. One day a new preacher came to town and everyone was talking about how good he was. I had never gone to church before, but one Sunday I thought I'd go near him preach. He was a good preacher, so I kept going back. Each time I would go late and I would leave early so I wouldn't have to talk to anyone else. Then one Sunday I got so caught up in the preacher's message that I forgot to leave. Before I knew what was happening, he said the closing prayer and the service was over. I tried to get out of the church, but people had already filled all the aisles and I couldn't get past them. Suddenly, I felt a heavy hand on my shoulder. I turned around. That big, tall preacher was looking down at me and asking, 'What's your name, boy? Whose family are you? Whose son are you?' And when I heard that question, I just shook. But before I could say anything, he said, 'Why?' He said, 'I know who your family is. I know whose son you are. There's a distinct family resemblance. You are a son of God.' The old man said to Professor Craddock, 'You know, Professor, those simple words changed my life.' The old man got up and left. The waitress came over and asked, 'Do you know who that was?' 'No,' said Professor Craddock. The waitress said, 'That's Ben Hooper, two-term governor of Tennessee.'" Friends, we serve a God of the impossible. But first, we got to see those bones. We got to see those impossible situations in our lives. Secondly, we got to speak to those situations. The Word of God, those impossible situations in our lives. And lastly, we need to believe what God says about the bones, that nothing is impossible for Him. with God's valleys of dry bones, with God, valleys of dry bones become armies of righteousness. Impossibilities become possibilities. There is nothing that God cannot do. God said that he would act, and he did. Let's read, go on to verse 12, 13, and 14. This is the end of our text for today. Listen what God said. He said, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, God says, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. No one else can get the glory. Only the Lord, friends. What word is God speaking to you today? What grave is the Lord going to bring you up out of through the word? The Lord might say something like this to you today. These bones represent your family. These bones represent your community. They represent your neighbors. They say, we have become old and dry. All hope is gone. Therefore, the Lord says, prophesy over your marriage. Prophesy over your family and your neighbors and over your community. Thus says the Lord, I will open up and refresh what's been dead. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Friends, as a church, let me just let you into something. I am in panic mode. And God is saying, what? Why? We're all panicking because the building's been standing there. And we tried this and that and this and that. And God asked, can this bone live? Can these bones live? And we say, Lord, you alone know. And God says, I was waiting for that. You know why? With me, all things are possible. I am the God of the impossibility. Stop looking at the dry bones, Keith, already. Stop it. That's the Lord yelling at me, friends. Don't limit what God can do. Think big thoughts and dream big dreams. God has a plan for your life and he wants to use you. Maybe it's time to awaken some of those dreams that you put on the back burner, which had been within you. As a church, we need to reclaim the new building. That's one of our dreams as a body. And you have your dreams as an individual. Take God at his word. Step out in faith and remember that God is the God of the impossible. In conclusion, let me tell you a little story. The school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in the hospital. One day, a teacher who was assigned to this program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly to the child's regular class teacher. The child's regular class teacher said, we study nouns and verbs in this class now. And I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind. The hospital program teacher went to see the little boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned that the little boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she briefly told him, I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and verbs. When she left, she felt she hadn't accomplished much. The next day, as she went back to the hospital, the nurse said, what did you do to that boy? The teacher felt she must have done something wrong and began to apologize. No, no, said the nurse. You don't know what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy, ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live. 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until that teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to the realization, a simple realization, and he expressed it this way. The little boy said, they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and verbs with a dying boy. Friends, Israel was not just sick. They were not just lost or just injured. They were dead. They were nothing but bones in the grave. Yet the Lord God had the intent and the power to raise them back to life and bring them home. Is there a dream that has died in your life? Have you given up on something you knew was God's plan for your life? God wants to speak to you today. He wants to revive the plan for your life. He wants to create an army of righteousness out of your bones of despair. I started with Walt Disney. Let me just end. When Disney World in Orlando, Florida, opened in 1974, Mrs. Disney was sitting beside Walter Cronkite. Walter Disney had passed away a few years earlier. Walter Cronkite wanted to say just the right thing to Mrs. Disney, so he leaned over and said to her, wouldn't it have been great if Walt were here to see this today? And Mrs. Disney wisely replied, if Walt had not seen this first, you would not be seeing it today. See that, friends? God is a good God. And you know what you've been struggling with in your own life. It's impossible, you say, Keith, it's impossible. Let's bow our heads in prayer. But it's not impossible with God, friends. Father, you have spoken to us clearly. We know as individuals we have our struggles. Our hope seems lost. Our vision is dying. But yet today you have told us, Lord, that you are sovereign. that you are in control. And while on the outside, everything seems hopeless, but with you, all things are possible. On the outside, everything is an impossibility, but with you, everything is a possibility. Help us as individuals, help us as a church, Lord, to keep trusting you. To keep trusting you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, friends. Praise the Lord. I am so grateful for this time we had together. And let's move from this point forward. Not listening to the naysayers about your life and about my life and about our church. Let's serve God together faithfully, friends. Amen.